Well, I bring you a very warm welcome on this final Sunday of January. And our theme today is the New Testament's encouragement for Christians never to give up, never to quit following Jesus. And our opening song expresses our desire for the Holy Spirit of God to touch our lives and set our hearts ablaze with love for God. So, loving Father, we invite you now to grant to us the privilege of that sense of your presence, the presence of Jesus our Saviour, to do for us what he did to those followers on the Emmaus Road. As they said, didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the way? Help us to know something of that in our service this morning. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, at this final Sunday of January is the end of my set of one-off messages. And next Sunday we're going to pick up John's Gospel. We left it back in March at the lockdown, and I've kept thinking that we'd be back together again to be able to pick it up, but it looks as though it's going to be a good number of months yet before we're able to safely gather. And so I'm going to pick up John's Gospel chapter 17 next Sunday, but for this particular Sunday, we're going to turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10, and Simon and Bev will read this for us.
Today's reading is taken from Hebrews 10, starting at verse 11 through to verse 25. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties again and again. He offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool, because by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, "This is the covenant I will make with them. After that time, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds." Then he adds, "Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more." And where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin.
Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way open for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching.
Thank you, Simon and Bev, for that reading. Since the first lockdown back there in March, I have been part of a group of over two dozen FIEC pastors in Yorkshire who have had, almost weekly links together. And back in March, all the churches represented in that group were closed. But gradually, over the months, following government restrictions, decided to reopen for the few people permitted to attend. And now, from that small start, almost two-thirds of the 27 churches represented are open, and only about a third remain closed, of which we at Church on the Green are one. And in listening to the pastors' reasons for reopening, despite them not being able to hold normal services in any way at all, one of the main things they express is their fear that some people may possibly drift away, especially those who are new to the church, or who are, I suppose, how we describe it, on the edge of church life, just coming to an occasional Sunday morning meeting. And I admit to being anxious about this myself. Will there be a Church on the Green full congregation when we reopen? Or will some have got out of the habit of coming over a year, and will they have drifted away? And it's for that reason that I turn us to these verses from Hebrews 10 with the title, "Keep On and Don't Give Up." Because this letter was written to people who were part of the Christian church, but who now were seriously thinking about giving it all up. These were baptized Jewish Christians, And because they were Christians, they would have been rejected from the synagogue, which was no small thing at all, as the synagogue was where your children got educated, where work permits were administered. And so to be excommunicated from the synagogue would mean that ordinary Jews wouldn't trade with you, wouldn't continue to rent housing to you or pastures. And so these Jewish Christians would have experienced very major loss already as they had become followers of Jesus. And for some of them, this ongoing persecution was just too much. And they were at the point of giving up and going back to living life in the unbelieving world. Life as a Christian was proving just too hard for them. And I want to pause there for a moment to remind us that we must never, never give the impression to a non-Christian that becoming a Christian will solve all your problems. That as you listen to the unbeliever and the difficulties they are in, we must never, never say, if you come to Jesus, all that will disappear. That Jesus will give you a life, give you an easy life. Because the Bible teaches that the very opposite of that is true. Yes, the Christian does find a peace. He does find a joy, a love, a life not known before. But this new life of battling sin and battling Satan is tough. And so Jesus describes becoming a Christian in terms of taking up a cross. And so in this letter, the Holy Spirit writes to these Christians who are on the point of giving up, calling them to keep on. And it's that call that I bring to each one of us this morning. And as I think of this, I know that giving up on church, giving up meeting together to serve and to hear from God is by no means a rare occurrence. In my own years and experience in church, I've seen it happen to so, so many. I'm sure that you yourself will know people, once a vital, enthusiastic part of the church, who now never come and have given it up. So these verses bring two important truths to these people. The first is a great encouragement, and the second is a great warning. So let me just remind you of these, and let's have a look at both of them. It says to us, in terms of a great encouragement, look again at all that Christ has done for you. Who in their right mind would give up Jesus and his church? John Calvin described people who give up on Christ's church as a little bit like an artist who scribbles a few pencil sketches of a scene, and then the artist goes into his studio and produces a beautiful masterpiece. And people who just give up on church are settling for a pencil sketch of Christian life. Don't settle for a pencil sketch of Christian life. Jesus has done all for you to purchase your eternal salvation. Enjoy the beautiful masterpiece of his love. How can you give up on him now when he's producing a masterpiece future for you? And so, verse 22 says, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith. Let us draw near to God. Don't stay on the outside. Don't kid yourself, you can still be a Jesus follower by keeping your distance from his church. You remember when Jesus was arrested, it was, as we read, that Peter followed at a distance. That was when he fell and denied his Lord. So don't withdraw. Come in, enjoy the privileges that God offers to you in being in his church. And if you're not drawing near, you're going back. It's either one or the other. So be encouraged to come in. But then for those who just absolutely refuse to listen and decide to go their own way, come these warnings of what will happen to them. Verse 29, and I read, "How much more severely do you think a person deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified him, and who has insulted the Spirit of his grace?" Don't play with fire, says the writer. God will judge, he will punish all who go back. Verse 31, it's a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, deliberately despising the Spirit of God, deliberately rejecting him, the one who calls you to draw near. By giving up and withdrawing means that you put yourself outside of God's presence. Put yourself outside of his blessing and the grace of the gospel. Don't do it, says the writer. Don't give up. Continue in the grace of the gospel. Why, oh why, give Jesus up? But you say, well, I'm not giving Jesus up. I'm just giving up coming to church. I'm still following Jesus. But no, says these verses, that's impossible. Verse 25. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. God designed church because he knows we're prone to drifting and we need each other. We need to hear from God as we are together. Fellowship with Christians in church is meant to spur each other on. You can't be a lone ranger Christian. You just can't. You will drift away. You will. It's imperceptible, but it always, always happens. And every summer you hear of lives being lost at sea, as on a beautiful sunny day people take their blow-up beds into the shallows and lie and float in the sea, enjoying the sun, and they never notice how the sea is slowly, slowly taking them further and further away, until too late and they are lost. And that's why we all need church, to avoid us being on our own and drifting away. There's more to church than having a good sing or a happy time. Well, that's good. But church is where we support each other, where we care for each other, and we encourage one another to keep on. And that's why it's so important when we are together, not just to engage in a kind of chattiness, but to regularly ask the person that you're talking to how they're doing in their walk with the Lord. Has anything they've read in the Bible spoken to them clearly? Could they share it with you? Could you encourage one another? I must admit, I'm often amazed after a service where we have heard the Bible taught and we've heard God speak to us, that nothing, absolutely nothing of what we have heard form any part of our conversation. And so the final thing I say is that you can't absent yourself from church and maintain that you love Jesus. You see, that's impossible, because Christ loved the church and gave his life for the church. So if you don't love the church, you don't love Jesus. Listen, I know how irritating church can be. I know how awkward things can appear in church. But don't tell me you love the bridegroom when you've got no time for his beloved bride. Jesus and his church are one. They're described as head and body. So draw near. Don't give up. Come back. Come in and thrill the heart of your Saviour. And so we make this final verse our prayer. We are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but we ask you, our Lord and Saviour, to help us to be of those who believe and are saved. Amen. And so, our closing song echoes the truth that we want to come in, we want to see our Lord Jesus, we want to gather together and not to give up. We want to come and to worship him.
Worship Jesus.